bottom line, we go to church together, whole nine yards. And there's a ton of people in our church that constantly ask me, man, when are you going to slow down? When are you going to do this? When are you going to retire? When are you going to back off a little bit? When are you going to go with us on Monday, every Monday, and play golf? You know, when are you going to, you know, go on the trips with us? When you, and I just look at them and I say, you know what? I don't know. I don't know, because I have a lot of things inside of me right now that I'm working towards. And one of them, folks, I'll be totally honest with you, we're in a building process right now of building a brand new, it's probably going to wind up being a $3 million church. My goal is to have it paid for when it's done. Now, if I got to do it by myself, I got to do it by myself. I put challenges out to people. I ask them to dig as deep as they can. I ask them to do whatever they can. But, folks, I work as hard as I can to do my part and then some. Now, am I saying I need a pat on the back for that? No. I'm not mentioning that for any other reason than to say there's got to be something out there that can drive you the way I'm driven. I know in my heart of hearts I'm not the only one that's passion-driven. But I don't know that you get up every morning and tap into what you need to tap into to make it happen. Okay? See, when you're that passionate, you don't call in sick. You don't not show up. You don't skip a day at work. You make it happen. Okay? Now, let's talk about another passion, folks. Let's talk about one, in my opinion, that's equally as important. Let's talk about the 12 to 15,000 people that respond back to our mailers every single week, week in and week out. Let's talk about those people. Let's talk about the people that don't have a shot if we don't get to them. Let's talk about the people that have taken it serious enough to fill that thing out and say, you know what? I desperately need your help, because that's the way I think they're saying it. I need your help. I have a mortgage here. I have a wife. I have a child. I have two children. I have three children. And God forbid something happened to me before I make it home today. They don't have a place to live. They're sitting out in the cold. So can you please help me? See, that's the way I interpret those letters, folks. That's why when I call a person, it's not whether or not I can come to see them or whether or not they're interested. It's when can I get there and take this situation in the hand and get it taken care of before it's too late. See, that's a passion for me. That's a passion for me. Everybody has a story. I'm not going to get into mine long drawn out, but when you're around and you see your parents pass away and you see one of them die and the other one have to live with you until they pass away, see, then you get passionate about stuff like that. Then you look around and say, you know what? I had a good dad. I had a good mom. They didn't intend for this to happen, but it happened. And how many average and ordinary working Americans out here today are going to have that happen to them and their families not be able to take care of the situation? Families today have a hard enough time taking care of their immediate family, wife and spouse and children. And then to have to take that burden on and take care of parents on top of that, it takes money, folks. It takes income. It takes a lot of gumption to be able to do that. And people are working two and three and four jobs to make it happen. So when they send that letter back in and they say, could you please help me? I don't know how we could be not passionate about that. I don't know how we could let the sun go down without calling those people. I don't know how we can have anything less than 100% close ratio, care ratio, call it what you will. I don't know and I don't understand why we can't do that, folks, with one exception. We're not passionate about it. We obviously look at it for what we can make. We look at it for the money. We look at it for the money we've spent. And we look at it for what it's going to do for our family. But do we take it one step further? And I say there's a ton of people on this phone listening to me that do take it a step further, that are going to make it happen. And those are the people you continually see on the leaderboards every week closing $20,000 and $30,000 and $40,000 in premium. Not because of the money, but because of what it does for families. Folks, do you actually, honestly, in your heart of hearts, understand what we do? It's not paper towels. It's not ink pens. It's not mints. It's taking care of people's financial future before it's too late. See, that's what we do. And we get story after story after story on a daily basis that are too late. that somebody's had an aneurysm, that somebody passed away, that somebody developed cancer, while somebody had these cards in their hand and didn't get in touch with them. So see, there's two different kind of passions there, folks, that should drive you to do what you do. Okay? And if you want to understand selling as far as what we do, it's passion selling. It's just that simple. Okay? It's nothing complicated about it. I don't talk about bricks. I don't talk about mortar. I don't talk about losing homes. I don't talk about losing assets. I talk about what's going to happen to your wife and your children if you don't make it home this evening, if you don't make it home next week, if you fall off the roof and you're paralyzed. What's going to happen to your family? Can they continue to have a place to live? Can they continue to put groceries on the table? Can they continue to take care of the bills and live the lifestyle? What's going to happen to your family, sir? What's going to happen to your family, ma'am? How's that going to be happen? See, people tell me, how do you get into it with single parents? How do you not get into it with single parents? Let me ask you a question. If I'm sitting with a single mother that's got three small children and she doesn't have that protected, shame on her. Am I going to make her feel bad? No. But I tell you one thing, me and her both going to be crying for my presentation. She's going to understand that those three defenseless children right there have nobody left when she's gone. And she can take care of them from the grave through insurance. It's that simple, folks. That's what we do. And you know what? Maybe you haven't seen it. Maybe you have seen it. But I think when you see the results of somebody leaving here without it, then you get passionate enough to say, you know what? We can't let that happen to anybody else. And see, that's been my mission statement for 23, 24 years now since I've been in the insurance business, to make sure that everything in my power is done so that that doesn't happen to people. That's just me. Now, the second step to that, folks, is commitment. After you're passionate, you still have to commit to it. You can get up and you can give a testimony and you can shout from the rooftops and say how much you're passionate about it and how much you care and how much you get up every morning and do all that. You know what? That and 35 cents in some places will get you a cup of coffee. You've got to put a plan in action, folks. You've got to commit to something. You've got to now take things into your own hands and be passionate enough and be driven to go out and make a difference. There's your commitment. See, everybody's involved in something. You know, whether it be civic groups, church groups, you know, whatever the case may be. Charitable organizations, you name it. But very few people commit to anything. See, in my opinion, that's what's going on today in America with 67% of marriages ending in divorce. It's lack of commitment. All right, I don't want to get off on that one because I go to preaching on it. But bottom line, folks, commitment is all or nothing. Commitment is making it happen regardless. Commitment is not taking no for an answer. See, when you call somebody on the phone, do you think everybody that calls people on the phone don't hear the same objections you do? You're wrong. They do. They just overcome them because of their passion and because of their commitment and because of the fact that they refuse to let the people on the other end of the phone lose because of being involved or lackadaisical or whatever you want to call it. They're committed to the point of not taking no for an answer. That's how they set more appointments. That's how they keep more appointments. That's how they travel. That's how they go in other states. That's how they fly from one place to the other, because they're committed to their passion. They're committed to what they're doing for society. They're committed for what they're doing for, as we say, Americans for the family. Okay? That's what it is, folks. It's commitment, not involvement. So, again, if I've got 10 leads in my hand, I don't take no for an answer. I'm going to set 7, 8, 9 appointments. And I'm going to keep calling those people until I get in touch with them because I'm committed to take care of their situation because I'm passionate about their family's situation and ultimately my family's situation. Okay? Now, number three, coachability. Folks, I promise you, your business partner, your manager, your mentor, whatever your title is for this individual, please be coachable. Please listen to what they're saying. Please pay attention. These folks will not hurt you. These folks will help you in every way that they can help you. They're not there to hurt you in any kind of way. Okay? But you got to listen to them. If they say stand in the corner for 15 minutes a day, stand in the corner for 15 minutes a day. Now, obviously, that's silly. They're not going to tell you to do that. But you know what? My point is, when they say it, do it. Now, here's all I try to say to people on coachability. I'm not going to try to run anybody off. I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to get anybody mad. But I want you to understand this. Your opinion and your action and what you've done to this point in your career is a direct result of you. Good, bad, or indifferent. It's a direct result of what you've done to this point. If it's worked, God bless you. If it hadn't worked, why wouldn't you be coachable, teachable, whatever the word is, once in your lifetime? See, here's what I learned a long time ago, folks. If I wanted to be successful, I had to pay attention to successful folks that were doing what I wanted to be successful in. Right now, that's insurance. Right now, that's building a business. Right now, that's putting together an organization to sell insurance. That's what we do. Okay? So when you've got a, whether it be a Fitz, whether it be a Simpson, whether it be a Weinbrenner, whether it be an Abian, you know, and I go on and on and on, and I'll leave names off, I promise you. Cats, whatever the name is, folks, when those people are working with you, and we put those people in front of you to say they have helped more families, they have taken care of more situations, they are committed to what we're doing, they are passionate about what we do, and oh, by the way, they make $1,000,002, $1,006,000,008, $800,000, whatever the number is. If that's where you want to be, why wouldn't you listen to these folks? Why wouldn't you pay attention to these folks? See, nothing gets me more than somebody coming along and saying, well, I can't work with so-and-so because they don't know what they're doing, and I need to work with this one. Well, you know what? We don't have managers that don't know what they're doing. We don't have people in place that don't know how to train you. Our people, every single solitary one of them are good people. They're in position that they're in because of their efforts, because of their passion, because of their commitment. And let me give you a clue. In order for you to ever be a leader in any organization that you ever become a part of, folks, write this one down. You will never be a leader unless you learn how to become a follower. A good follower makes a great leader. Always remember that. Always remember that. Okay? Now, that's the coachability part. Credibility, it is what it is, folks. You're either credible or you're not. And you're credible, people base it on your integrity. They base it on what you've done in the past. They base it on what you're doing right now. They base it on your actions, the way you act, the way you react, all of these things. See, I don't think it's the things in life that happen to us that develop us into what we are. I think it's our reactions to the things that happen to us in life. That's the difference. That's where you start to develop credibility. See, you can go out on a golf course, folks, as simple as that sounds, and you can tell real quick who you're working with. Nothing upsets me more than somebody hit a bad golf shot and break a golf club, throw a golf club down, kick a tree, you know, say a four-letter word. That's not credibility. That's somebody that cracks under pressure. That's somebody that took a game so serious that their true colors came out. They actually just showed me what they're all about, what they're made of, what's down deep. See, that's not the way it is. That's not the people that I want to work with. So watch people. Look for the credibility. Be creditable. Handle yourself in a way, folks, that people will look up to you, people will respect you, people will want to be around you. Make people feel special. See, that's how you develop credibility. Okay? So those four steps, folks, passion, commitment, coachability, and credibility. That's passion selling in a nutshell. All right? Let me give you 10 steps right here for winning that's going to help you with these things. Number one, I just talked about it, passion. Okay? Folks, it's not just a job to you. It's a way of living. Crusaders die hard. Sellers come a dime a dozen. So that one, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but that one aspect that you got to have, that one ingredient that you got to have, number one, for winning in life, winning in business, is that passion that we just talked about. Number two, I believe down deep inside, you got to have an anywhere, anytime presentation. Okay? Now let me explain what I mean. If you're sitting on an airplane or you're sitting on a bus or you're on a shuttle going back and forth from the airport or to the hotel or you're in a car or you're in a restaurant or whatever, you don't need to pull out a briefcase and pull out a 45-page presentation or hook up a laptop to be able to do something. You need a presentation. You can pull a napkin out and draw on and say, here's what we do. Here's what we do. We help people if they die. We help people if they live. We show people an opportunity. Here's how you can go out and pick yourself up an extra $500 to $1,000 a week, part-time income, working 2 to 3 nights a week. Here's the two things we do for people. Would you be interested or would you know anybody to be interested? Talking to a little girl on a plane going out there. I'm not interested, just graduating college, love working with children. Great, proud of you, appreciate you. But I got an uncle that'd be perfect for this. I'm going to have him call you. Great. Now, I'm on a plane. Do you think I pulled out and spent 45 minutes? I mean, that was a five-minute conversation. We got that over with, and I took him out. Okay? So it is what it is, folks. It's a anywhere, anytime presentation. Now, I think what that anywhere, anytime presentation personally has got to do is you've got to be able to reach inside of a person and just grab their heart and just massage it and get them to understand that, again, what we do is very, very important. It's not just a job. When people say, what do? What's your answer? Is it something that just reaches out and touches them? Or is it, oh, we sell insurance. That's not what we do. We change people's lives. We change people's lives from the point of dying too early. We change people's lives from the point of living too long. And we change people's lives in the middle by showing them an unbelievable opportunity to make as little or as much money as they want to take care of their family in the fashion that they desire. That's what we do. That's what we do, folks. So anywhere, anytime presentation to reach inside of somebody's chest and pull their heart out and let them see and feel and touch and smell what we do. Okay? Number three, I don't think it'll ever change for me, folks. I think what we do and as a winner is we have a three-step process. I think we set our appointment. That's number one. Whether you have appointment setters or whether you do it, or whether your sister does it, somebody's going to set the appointment. I think number two, you go in and close the sale. Boom. That's the second step. Number three for me is you deliver the policy and you make a client for life. So I think it's a three-step process, and I think on step number three, folks, by that time you should have all the information you need to put it into your KIT program. You should have their friends, their relatives, their parents. You should be going back in to close another sale in that household. You should be doing business with these people to lock them in for life. This is 10 fundamentals for winning, folks, and basically it's driven by the passion and everything that I'm talking about here. It starts with that, okay? Number four, sales is a commitment business. I think you've got about 10 minutes or less. It's probably somewhere around 8 minutes, okay? To disturb these people. And I think that's going to happen in the first 8 to 10 minutes, or it ain't going to happen. And I think you got to figure out a way to do that. And the way you do that, folks, is you listen for the hot buttons. You can't disturb somebody by jumping on them and doing all the talking, because you don't know what you're trying to disturb. You don't know what their problems are. You don't know what their hang-ups are. You don't know what their situation is. You don't know what they're looking at in life. You have to listen to people in order to be able to disturb people. You have to pay attention to what they say. See, if I'm sitting and talking to somebody, I'm going to ask some questions. I'm usually the one that starts the conversation. And I'm usually the one to say, what do you do for a living? Do you like it? If you could change something about it, what would it be? If you're looking at another profession, just per se, what would that be? See, things like that, folks, will disturb people. It'll get people thinking. It'll get the emotions inside of them. Well, you know, I always wanted to be a successful businessman. I always wanted to be a successful businesswoman. I always wanted to run my own business. I always wanted to help people. I really care about old people. I really care about young people. I really care about children. You're going to get all these answers, folks. And basically, in that first 8 to 10 minutes, you can ask 3 to 4 to 5 questions, and you can come up with some unbelievable solutions for their situations. That's what you need to do. That's how you need to get inside their heads and get them to understand. See, again, sales is a commitment business, folks. They're going to buy from you. And sales and recruiting goes hand in hand. Recruiting is simply a sales process. It's just that simple. Now, folks, number 5, always, always be excited. See, I think the difference in a $10,000 earner and a $100,000 earner is excitement. I think that's one of the biggest differences. It's excitement. Have you ever talked to somebody? We had a guy come in here a while ago. Man, it's raining, pouring down rain outside. This dude's so pumped up, man, he got a box full of umbrellas. I ain't kidding you. He's selling. He's selling. He comes to the front desk, and he's talking to a woman, and he's got the umbrella, and he shows how big it is and what it'll do, and she won't get wet before she's going. I'm sitting here listening. I'm like, this dude is something. And I had to go out there and say, sir, you know what, we're not interested. No soliciting, appreciate you, but all these ladies have a job to do. And, oh, yes, sir, I understand. No, I didn't mean to disrespect you. So I go down the hall to talk to one of my ladies in licensing, and I listen, and he ain't checked up. He's still talking. He's still excited. He's still motivated. And I'll be honest with you, I thought maybe he's going to sell one to the front desk, so I didn't have the heart to come out here and stop him. I let the guy.